What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
So a little insight. Luke and I have been traveling around the country for we've done a bunch, just a bit.
Yeah.
And
a little bit.
And Luke's sort of my sidekick. But it's funny, like, if we go to, like, speak, this is a common thing. Happens.
You're Robin?
Every single time. He's like my Robin. I'm Batman. He's Robin.
How do you feel about being Robin?
Clearly not.
Are you saying that you're Batman?
Not physically.
Yeah, I feel like there's no way that Luke could wear, like, the smaller superhero costume. There's no way. There's no way that would
How
work.
About maybe I can just be Incredible Hulk and you can be, like,
Is there a duo where the sidekick is bigger?
Wait. Is there a duo where the sidekick's bigger?
Uh-huh.
Yogi Bear.
Maybe,
No, it's not. It doesn't make sense.
Maybe, Chewbacca and
Scooby and Scrappy.
What was I even talking about? You guys, I don't know. Totally, it's like ADD, ADD radio.
You said he was your sidekick, and
welcome
I automatically
ADD radio.
Tried to imagine him as your sidekick, and it didn't work.
I had a whole story, a whole thing.
Okay,
I was doing
I'm sorry.
There.
Okay, anyway.
All right. So every time we go and speak somewhere, it's like clockwork. Every time, about 25-30 minutes before I have to go up to speak, Luke starts having a stomach ache. He has a little tummy ache, and he has to go to the bathroom. I'm just a little insight. He has to go to the bathroom. I'm like, are you okay? I bring Pepto-Bismol.
Really.
It's true.
Are you okay?
Are you denying it?
I don't get a stomach ache.
Now I'm imagining Batman looking over at Robin going, are you okay?
He gets a nervous tummy when I have to speak. You know it's
pulling
true.
Pulling Pepto out of your utility belt.
Yeah.
And giving
here you go.
Why did you feel the need to tell us?
I just wanted to give some insight.
We're no longer friends.
We want to be transparent, like on the radio show. Like, just let people know, like, you know, what's in our lives. That's all.
I thought you were bringing up because our special guests, plural today, seem to have a very strange bromance going on over there.
They do. They were sort of.
I thought we were weird, but then they came in.
You
guys are still weird. Don't get that joke.
They're awfully, Yeah, they're off the close there with the mic when they were doing their tests, weren't they? So this is Apologia Radio, guys. Welcome. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. That's Luke DeBear. That's Joy the Girl. I'm Jeff.
Okay, you know what? I have a proposal.
Okay. Okay.
You just totally cut me off.
I have a proposal, Joy.
Okay, what is it?
I propose that we allow him to be the ninja only if the word ninja is followed by a question mark.
Ninja?
The ninja? I'm serious. I thought long and hard about this. I think we can compromise on that.
You thought long and hard?
Yes.
Was that a first for you? Or
dude, you just don't want any friends.
I love you, dude.
Okay, so...
Seriously, first of all, sidekick.
Yeah.
Make him be Robin.
Yes.
Listen.
And then...
Sideshow Derby.
Can you imagine me with my face running around, making dang fool of myself with a Batman suit and him and a really super tight, like, Robin. Robin.
Yeah, not a Robin suit. He's built for him.
No,
like,
Batman.
Like an original Robin.
He's wearing Robin Hood costume. He's confused.
We know Robin Hood and Little John, they were sidekicks.
Robin Hood and Little John.
Walking through the forest.
Oh, come on. You should.
Okay, no, I'm serious about this proposal. Think about
ninja?
It. Because then I think it would be funny, like, you write... Like the ninja question, the bear and the girl.
The ninja?
And then it's a compromise. You can have that, and I would feel better about it.
As long as it's not like the question mark isn't conveniently forgotten.
I think it needs to be forgotten.
No, I'm serious about this.
What? Your face?
It needs to be the ninja question mark.
Yeah?
Kind of like how
the ninja question mark
had like a symbol. Like maybe he can just be a question mark.
Whatever.
Like the Riddler.
Whatever.
No, I'm being serious about this. I am being dead serious.
I don't think our listeners agree with you. Speaking of listeners,
we'll
do we
see
have,
if they agree.
Do we have any listeners that have left comments for us so we can start the show?
Yeah.
We actually have a show today.
Your mom did.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We have a bunch on the app. Let me find. Oh, here's one from our buddy Krypton John again.
Woo, Krypton.
He says, awesome sauce. This is about the app. This is awesome. Now I can catch up on all the sermons I didn't get to hear and listen to. The ones I loved again and again. This ministry has truly blessed my life and will continue to bless my life. Thank you all so much, and God bless you. Glory.
Glory.
Let's see. Here's
it's a glory cloud.
Oh, gosh. No, it's not. Anthony knows about those. This one's called Gray App. From Tammy T.
Gray app?
Great.
Oh, okay.
Great.
It's a gray app. Good color.
Tammy.
Good color choice.
Tammy T. 15. Love this ministry. The sermons and radio sessions have challenged me in my faith, and I'm excited to get to share this app with friends. I love the design of the app. That's credit to Subsplash.
Word.
And how easy it is to access different content. Thank you, Apologia. Thank you, Subsplash. Wow.
Here's a little hand clapper in the room.
Wow. It's the first time we've ever used those.
What is Elliot doing here?
It's a teeny tiny hand clap.
Oh, that's good.
Aww.
He's here in spirit. It's Elliot's tiny hand.
This next
not
one.
Not Elliot, just his hands.
This next one's
hand.
Called Finally by ESV Reader. Yay. Yay, God. Yay, God. Apologia app. Now I can get all the sermons and more. Seriously, you guys just made my day. I'm going to get my eschatology straight.
Woo!
Get my apologetics all in order. And
Word.
I'm going to bang it out in a real way.
Bang it out in a real way.
I wonder if that's from our
do
buddy.
You have to make that face.
It's actually
you
really hard.
Clap.
You don't understand.
Buddy
it's actually
Ivy.
Difficult to do. Watch. Pass that around. Give that a try.
Okay. Focus.
It's pretty, his face looks really normal.
You can't look tough when you're flapping around little hands. Elliot. Oh.
What are you doing over there?
I just unplugged myself.
Oh.
Here's another here's another comment on the app here. It says, I'm really, really serious about the question mark after the ninja. Seriously. I'm really serious. Stop dismissing my comments.
Here's another one.
It does say that.
Dear Apologia Radio, please stop making fun of my son, Mrs. Durbin.
That's a really, really good... Very
Mrs.
accurate.
Durbin,
right on.
Very accurate.
Right on. Okay.
This is Mrs. Durbin.
Here, this one says "finally" with 3 exclamation marks.
Finally, a great
quit app. Yelling at me, ESV reader.
Finally, that's.
Oh wait, I already started this one. This one that says "yay." Sorry, apology. I forgot. Well, you distracted me with your hand clapping.
Part two.
Now part two. Your now face. I can get all the sermons and more. Did I read this whole thing? I did.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Welcome back to the show.
You know, if you'd put your hand clappers down, maybe I could pay attention.
Dear Apologia Radio, please teach Luke how to read. Sincerely, finally.
It's not that I can't read. It's that my short-term memory is distracted by Elliot's tiny hands.
Finally.
This one says Apologia with an exclamation mark. Apologia!
We have some explaining.
By Insane Planet Man.
Mike, they read your email.
What?
These guys have been a consistent blessing over the last couple of years. Fun, thorough, and thinking Christianity. And here, this one's good. It's funny. It's short.
These ones are good. This one's a good.
It's a good one. It says, can't go wrong. By...
That's it.
Okay, no, the name is, I hope this nickname works.
What?
I hope this nickname works. That's okay. The name.
Okay.
That's their name.
That's their name. Okay, good.
And then the comment is, Pastor Durbin is the best.
That's it? That's it. Okay. Pastor well, thank Durbin. You.
Huh. That's pretty official.
Short and sweet.
I sent that one, too.
That actually should just be your
My
be your
son
nickname.
Is the best, and don't you forget it.
Nice.
That should be your nickname.
Hey, J-Man, we're doing Pastor a show Durbin. Here.
What
is going on?
What is happening?
I'm so sorry.
J-Man just walks in the studio mid-show.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
what is happening
hey,
today?
Gil, we're switching stations, officially. To some other non-existent Christian station in Phoenix.
But before we do that, make sure you visit our sponsor, annoyingplastichandclapper.com.
Is that it? Those are comments?
That's
okay.
It.
All right, guys.
That's it.
I think we just demolished that.
We did. Okay, here we go, guys. We have a great show planned for you guys today. We're actually going to respond today to some comments made by a radio personality, I guess, podcast personality. Name is J.D. Hall, Pulpit and Pen radio program. I was directed to some of his comments from yesterday's show he had by David Lohman. And actually, David's going to join us on the show today as well, guys. Hey, what do you think about
that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was actually a student of Bonson. Bonson was his pastor. So we're going to hear some stories even in that. But before we do, you guys have heard some different voices in the studio today. So let's go ahead and have an introduction. Anthony!
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Anthony the comedian.
Yes, I'm Anthony, and I brought my friends along, Mike and Brian. We're going to be actually performing next month. It'll be a special show for Apologia Church and Apologia Radio listeners.
Yeah.
And all the proceeds are going to go to a family in the church who recently suffered a loss.
Yes. Some of you guys are aware of a family in our church, Christian and Esther. Christian is actually a deacon at our church. They lost their about one-year-old son unexpectedly. No one foresaw it coming at all, and his name is Ezra. And so we've been able to raise a lot of money for the family. And so Anthony had the idea to put together a show.
Yeah. The show will be Thursday, October 16th at the Comedy Spot in Old Town, Scottsdale, Arizona. Can I give it the address real quick?
Absolutely.
The address is 7117 East 3rd Avenue. So that's Scottsdale Road and 3rd Avenue, just north of Indian School.
1 minute.
It's a great little comedy spot. I've been there for years. As well as with Mike and Brian.
And the date again?
Thursday, October 16th. Doors open at 7 o'clock, or 6 o'clock. Show starts at 7. You want to get your tickets online at thecomedyspot.net to ensure a seat. Tickets are already being sold now to the general public, so you don't want to miss out.
Sweet. And you're doing this with two atheist comedians, correct?
Yeah, actually one's a former Muslim, and the other other one, he's still got his foot in the door at the LDS church, Elder Mike. So Elder Mike is what we call him.
Not true. Just so you guys know. All right, guys, so stay with us. We're going to be right back. We might hear from these guys in a moment here. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us, guys. Like us on our Facebook page, Apologia Radio on Facebook. Be right back, guys. Stay with us.
Say I won't rock FUBU, sucker. Say I won't. I don't do what you do, sucker. No, I don't. Walk a flock, walk a walker. West side like I'm Tupac.
New one. All right, guys. We're back. Apologia Radio, y'all. That's Joy, the girl, Luke the Bear.
Exclamation
and the ninja?
Watch, it's going to catch on.
Okay, all right, guys. Back. Guys, why don't y'all just let us know about yourselves. And
all right, this is Helen Hunt. No, actually, my name is Mike with Cross-Eyed Comedy, and Anthony was mentioning earlier about a show we have coming up on the 16th, so we're looking forward to that. Brian's over here yawning. He's
bored.
He's a partner in crime.
Now, did you name your group after Brian's eyes?
Yes. Yes. Brian, in fact, did have his eyes prior to us naming the group.
I'm sorry, I was looking at him when you said that. What?
Anthony, you can use that one too.
If you have any further suggestions, go to anthonyneedshelpwithhismaterial.com.
Please, please help.
With your eyes or with Anthony?
Hashtag,
everything?
Hashtag no, seriously, please.
These are the jokes, folks. Yeah. So, yes, Anthony needs help. I'm Brian, part of Cross-Eyed Comedy, along with Mike James. So,
let's talk about just kind of what you guys do, your comedy shows. Like, what sort of things? What kind of comedy do you guys do?
We just go around town to town doing radio shows.
That's it.
No, actually, we all have a different. I got to be honest with you. I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. I'm the only guy here without a beard, and I think I'm the only one here that doesn't spend all day on YouTube, according to the comments I heard earlier. So, but we, I don't know. We all have different styles. Brian is physical and talks a lot about pop culture things and family and
like you beat
sort of
people
thing.
Up physical.
Or? Yes, yeah, it's,
he's
a, it's an audience participation.
He manhandles the audience member. He's like,
can I have a volunteer? Smack. And then I talk about myself. I'm pretty narcissistic and nobody laughs, but it's therapeutic for me.
Well, I have nothing to say because you talked about me. So thanks, Mike.
I'm curious, Mike. What's my style?
Oh, yeah, and then there's Anthony. Anyway, what else is going on?
So when you say, like physical comedy, that what do you mean?
Well, like, Mike's style is to stand there with a microphone and talk into it, whereas I like to walk around. I like to do things. I like to...
That's Brian's idea of physical. He walks around.
I don't stand in one spot. I move to the other side of the stage.
Back me up if I'm wrong, Mike. I have what's called...
Just to be clear, he uses a golf cart to do the walking around.
I have what's called talent. Yeah. So I do a variety of things on stage as opposed to Mike, who has... What do you have? Jokes.
I have to agree with Brian. He's very talented. He has a lot of talent. I, on the other hand, have to rely on cleverness.
So you use, like, watermelons and a hammer?
You're like the Christian Gallagher?
Man, that would be great. Right. The sledge-o-matics are expensive. No, not the... Okay, quiet. No, I haven't gotten to that point in my desperate career yet.
No,
smash a watermelon yet. So,
all right.
Maybe. All maybe. Right. So, write that down. That's good advice. Smash things on stage.
We've actually gone on tour together. We've gone to many big cities throughout Arizona. Wickenburg was the most recent.
Wickenburg, yeah.
Where I got to go.
Huge crowd.
I got to open. Yeah, the whole town came out, all 17 people. Shout out Wickenburg. What's up? Yeah. No hand claps?
No, Anthony, you have props too, right? You usually carry around. There you go. Don't you usually have like a burrito and a Corona Light on stage with you?
I normally do that because when if I don't get paid enough on stage, I get to sell the burritos after the show to kind of supplement the income. Judith is really happy about it, you guys.
Nice.
Typically, Anthony will have the burrito in his hand if he forgot. Like, I wore a shirt with sleeves today. So he's got that kind of balances it out. Either burrito in hand or no sleeves, you know. How do you say get her done in Spanish? I don't know. Get her done. I don't know. Standing applause in here. And we sell the clappers, too, that you're hearing. So that's our other job.
Now, give me some examples of kind of comedy you guys do. What are you guys talking about? You say narcissistic. What do you mean by that? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I talk for me, I just talk about myself. I talk about my view on the world and my view on family and my misunderstanding or apparent misunderstanding of everything going on around me. It's very confusing.
I'm just very confused.
I did say he had one step in the Christian church and one still in the Mormon church, so that's where it's a little confusing for him.
I'm going to run you over with my bicycle.
I'm going to stab you in the eye with my badge.
Mike's one of those guys who talks about his life.
Yeah.
Which he has one of those lives that he thinks is interesting, but we all have to listen to it. And no, Mike's been married 20, how long? I should know, it's 29 years Mike's been married. So we get to hear about the horror stories that he's gone through day in and day out with his poor wife.
Horror stories with two syllables.
Horror.
Horror.
Horror. Horror. Christian radio. Horror.
Now, I'm making sure you understood what I said.
If you're listening Horror. To this episode right now, we really want you guys to come out and support Ezra. Obviously, you're not coming for the humor. We just need to raise money. So
just buy a ticket. Don't worry about coming.
Hey, you can use that one too.
So, Mike, go ahead and tell us about your other wives.
No, that's 29 years to one.
I'm still on my first. What?
No, that's 29 years to one wife, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm still on my first. I got married very young. And so that was kind of
how young
cool.
were you?
I was 20. Well, actually, no, I had just turned 21. Which was cool. So I didn't have to like waste a bunch of time trying to figure out what my own interests were.
Nice. That was very good. All right, guys. So, Anthony, what are you going to be talking about on the show? What sort of things?
You know what?
Anthony is going to talk about.
I'm actually going to use Brian's jokes. I'm going to go before him. So that way when he gets up, he actually has nothing else to say. No, you know, a lot of what I talk about is closely, yeah, the world through my eyes and the experiences that I had growing up and then where I am now. The last show I was I performed in where I had a few people from the church, I actually got to push my the advocacy for being pro-life.
Sweet.
And I wasn't shy about saying that. And then, you know, so going able to take this into the secular arena as far as this comedy club in particular is something that I'm excited to do.
Mm. Cool. Right on.
So no jokes about that, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not that funny.
We're
I just made that serious right now.
Was that your closer, or did you open with that? And now here to make you laugh is the next guy, right?
Okay.
He's going to do that. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, make Anthony go last.
Well, if he goes, I don't know.
If he goes at all.
We're going to try to make that happen. Well, we've ran out of time. Anthony, well, you can see him outside in the parking lot.
He'll be with his burritos.
Selling burritos. Two for a dollar. It's a good deal. Help the guy out. So,
now, what are you going to do, Anthony? Your wife's due, like, that day. So what are you going to do if...
I told her to hold it as long as possible. I mean, it's not that hard, is it? I mean, she needs to just man up a little bit.
Man up.
Cowboy
up.
She calls you up. We got to go. No, I'm busy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a man does. Is you wait till I get there.
Yeah, I'm the head of the house.
She's not going to listen to this, is she? You guys aren't going to have this out? Are we still recording?
She's in the next room, bro.
That wouldn't surprise me. No, yeah, so the show's on the 16th, and I hope you guys come out.
Awesome. It's called, the name of the club is the?
The Comedy Spot in Old Town Scottsdale.
And the website?
TheComedySpot.net, and then you want to go to CrossSideComedy.com.
Sweet. Thanks, guys, for joining us today, guys. God bless you. ApologyRadio.com, guys. Stay with us for the next segment, guys.
Apology Radio will be right back. Holy Ghost writer, to compose rhymes. Seeing God is blind, got a cloud on a mind. I'm illuminated.
What's up, y'all? It's Apologia Radio.
Now the spirit showing me the word, it's alive.
ApologiaRadio.com.
Now I'm so high.
If you haven't joined the discussion yet, go to Facebook. On Facebook, like the page on Facebook. Get involved in the conversation. Also, you can go to Google Play and you can go to Apple iTunes Store and you can pick up our new church app. Apologia Church, what's up? It's got the church app portion, which is the sermons, weekly sermons from Apologia Church on Sunday and even on Thursday. Pastor Lou's going to have his stuff up there as well from Renew Bible Study. And we got Apologia Radio. All the podcasts are uploaded there and will be uploaded there. So if you don't see it come up immediately, and it is on the radio page at ApologiaRadio.com, it will be up on the church app eventually. We got someone working on that now, right, Luke? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Benjamin's going to
sweet.
Help,
so we have, like, there's probably There's like 2 years of sermons on the book of Romans, verse by verse. We did Romans for like 2 years, something like that. And so those all need to go up there. So right now there's like eschaton, portions of it are missing. Portions of it are missing, but they will be there. Portions of it are missing, but they'll be there soon. And there's God the Healer series, Matthew, the Gospel According to Matthew, Kingdom of God series. So there's more coming. So keep checking back at the app and you'll see it. Yeah, okay. All right. We have to cut the sermons up a bit.
Yeah, sometimes I have to be cut, or you might hear Jeff saying something like, Happy Mother's Day, here's your spatula.
All right,
get to cooking.
Can we tell the story real fast? So, yes, so somebody who's a fan of the show hits me up one morning last week, and they're like, Jeff, like, the series totally blessing me, like, eschaton, seriously, amazing, say, you know, it's blessing my life. And, like, you know, I'm like, oh, so encouraging. He goes, oh, by the way, in such and such sermon on eschaton, you left your mic on and you were in the bathroom. And so I'm like, all my heart sunk into my stomach. My stomach immediately started hurting and I run immediately. I start pulling it up and I'm like scrubbing through the thing because the whole thing is up there with the worship and everything. And all of a sudden I scrub through and it lands on the spot. And all you hear is me going, what did I say?
Happy Mother's Day. Here's your spatula.
Yeah, so I say I'm in the hallway.
Is that on Hallmark?
I'm in the.
You should write greeting cards. That's your.
I'm in the hallway, and Joy's in the hallway. We had like Mother's Day gifts.
Yeah.
Did we have spatulas?
Yep.
Yes.
That's actually why I used one of those to discipline my daughter.
Nice.
Yeah. See?
CPS.
Glad you didn't get a crock pot.
I told you he played for the NFL.
So I say, it's Joy in the hallway. Well, I just left the bathroom, and I'm like, Happy Mother's Day. Here's your spatula. Because I'm joking about the fact that it's Mother's Day and the spatulas. And then I say, it's not enough to say that. I go, get to cooking. And then I walk right in, and now it's time for the sermon. I'm like, I call Luke, and I'm like crying. I'm like, get it off the thing now. Cut it off. Get it
I've
off.
I've never heard him so panicked. He's like, seriously, I'm so embarrassed. What, seriously, you gotta take it out. I was like, dude, I didn't put up. I don't know. He goes, no, you don't say that. Don't stop saying that. You need to take it down right now. I was like, I can't stop saying that.
First of all, Luke called me.
I'm not exactly
right after it happened and was like, I have so many things to tell you right now. And he's just cracking up. And my favorite part was how you were like, don't tell me that. You have to be able to get it off. Don't even tell me that. And second of all, we reap what we sow, Jeff, and you deserve that. And I'm so glad. I hope this listener was not the only person that heard it. I really hope so.
Well, here's the crazy thing. You don't understand this. For like a year and a half, we get constant emails. People are like, Ask Don series changed my life. Somebody told me last week that they've been listening to it in their home Bible study with other Christians. They go, they sit, and they play that, and they're like, we're totally blessed by it. I'm like, I'm in the bathroom.
You do hear water running.
And you hear like.
Not out of the faucet.
No, he's not lying.
In Jeff's defense, I have a microphone in my bathroom as well.
Was that from one of the burritos you ate?
You don't understand. Like, every pastor has this deep-seated fear that the microphone guy is going to leave the mic on. I have pastors tell me stories like, one time, Jeff, like, sit around in a group, like, one time my sound guy left it on during the break, and I went to the bathroom. The whole entire church, 2,000 people, heard me using the bathroom and, like, laughing in the bathroom or blowing my nose or something like that.
I just keep thinking how hard it'd be to listen to a pastor all day that talks like that. One time, where...
Dude, at least it wasn't... They didn't catch what you said about Anthony.
Let's go ahead and listen. We have the clip. Go ahead and play that.
We were actually going to play the clip on last episode, and I was like, nah, I can't. It's just
we didn't want to give any atheists any
We didn't want to give anyone any ammunition.
Plus, you can still go online and listen to it, right? If you want to. Yeah. Like, if you're going to listen to that, just keep listening, right?
Happy Mother's Day. Here's your spatula. Get to cooking.
I will say, everyone that heard that, though, the spatulas are through the city. Everybody's buying them now.
Be right back.
Abhorrent Radio will be right back.
So that was the second most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Are you going to tell us the first?
Tell us the first
can't
one
tell
one
that story on air.
You can't.
I can?
You can't just say,
does it involve a Borders bathroom?
No, it involves Father's Day.
That was awful, though.
Father's Day incident. We don't talk about it.
No, that was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Oh, I thought
not most embarrassing. I was in a Borders bathroom once by Borders. Thanks a lot, Amazon. And me. I never bought anything from Borders. Yeah. I was in a Borders bathroom once. I walked in, and it was a funk in there, like an ungodly smell I'd never smelled before. I walk in the bathroom. It's awful. I don't want to touch anything. There's stuff, like, oozing off the ceiling.
It was Anthony's burritos.
I'm telling you, like, green and yellow stuff pouring down the ceiling. And
he comes
in.
Running out. We need to close the Borders.
Anthony, get out of here.
Why were you looking at me when you said that, Mike?
So I go in this bathroom, this toilet. I have to use the bathroom, and the bathroom is the toilet is nasty. If you could just, I'm not going to describe it. All I'm going to say, the actual bowl was full, and no one seemed to want to flush the toilet that day.
He's describing
it. I put my foot up on the handle, and I kick it to, like, flush it, and when I did, it didn't just flush, it blew up and exploded, and water sprayed out, and my mouth was open, and it went in my mouth. I'm screaming. I'm like, ah! And I run, and my mouth under the water faucet for like 20 minutes. I'm coming out crying, and
I'm gonna feel sick all day. You owe me an apology.
And so I sued him. That's why they closed. All right, guys, we're back. I wanted to invite on the show today somebody that we've...
So you're not going to tell your most embarrassing story?
You can't say that was the second most embarrassing
special guest
of my entire life.
I don't know if it's appropriate for radio as a thing. That's
I don't even know what story you're...
It's the kickboxing story when I was teaching kickboxing.
Appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's appropriate?
Don't and listen to so Luke. He'll tell you everything.
The story started.
We'll talk about it between segments and just
can
and
you
we'll
like,
decide whether or not...
Yeah, you can you like blur... the story.
I can't blur the story.
Can you pixelate on the radio?
We'll discuss it next segment to see if it's appropriate for radio. All right, guys, I want to invite on the show somebody that we've become acquainted with. I'm very excited about the relationship we have with him. His name is David Lohman. Used to run his own radio program and was a disciple of, student of, Greg Bonson, Dr. Greg Bonson, who's actually his pastor. What's up, David? Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks. There's two things real quick. One, in case I start talking like that pastor you were referencing in the last segment, it's because I was biting my tongue not trying to come up with a Aunt Jemima treatment joke after the spatula thing. Yeah. And two, as a sales rep for Salem Communications, always be careful with the stories you tell on the air.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm being careful. See, there you go. See? All right, guys. So this is David. David, tell us about yourself, man. Tell us about the show you've done and just kind of give us the skinny on you.
First and most importantly, in the background, if you hear any noise, it is the movie The Apostle.
Woo!
Watching.
Oh, that's
it's in fact, right now, to be honest, it's the scene where the Holy Ghost revival, where they're all the guys are up on the stage and they're passing the mic down.
You got the keys. Keys to Hades.
And then a backflip on the devil. And a backflip on the devil.
Glory.
Two or three of you are the smartest film watchers on the planet.
And who do you think that is, Joe?
I don't know. It's not the Princess Bride.
Oh!
Guys, most importantly, the thing you need to know about me is I was born and raised. In fact, my blog is I was a teenage dispensationalist.
Ah.
And I am a sales rep for Salem. I had a radio show called Always Ready, which actually did pretty well. And the shows are still up online that people can track down. But what it really came down to is, and I don't know anybody else has ever had this experience, I actually came to Reformed faith through eschatology. Not through soteriology. And it was because I was working for a Christian record company. We did all the kind of the radical stuff in the 90s, all the big hair metal and all the hip-hop and stuff. And my phone rep, I was the field rep. I used to go to Arizona all the time. And my phone rep that I worked with was David Bonson, Greg's son.
Yeah.
And so we would always be hanging out, and I was a Southern California rep. We were based in Southern Cal. And so we would hang out all the time, and he would just destroy me on a regular basis.
Very encouraging.
I just got a book. And he would go, this is why that book is a total sham. And I would walk away with my head down, and I never had an answer for him. So he goes, here's some tapes. And he gave me a bunch of stuff as his dad's, and I became addicted to Greg's
cocaine.
Teaching and to what I was learning. And so I actually came to the Reformed faith through eschatology. So my primary blog on eschatology is a culmination where I took Uncle Gary's stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, he was on my show 3 times.
Sweet.
Uncle Gary and Greg and Ken Gentry and those guys. And I kind of piecemealed it so that humans could understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it so that junior hires and high schoolers could get on, read a blog, and learn about eschatology at their level rather than trying to jump up to a college level.
Right.
So I put that together, and that kind of built this momentum of, oh, you should have a show. Oh, you should do these sort of things. And so it kind of just gravitated into that, started attending Greg's church right before his passing. And there is one story I know will make some of you in the room a little jealous. About a week or so after his passing, Dave invited me over to the house, and there was this box in the corner just filled with books. And he goes, those are my dad's that are duplicates. Do you want them?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So what was cool is that when I thought they were, you know, just, you know, Greg's books and different things, but it was actually his library books of Chilton, of Lorraine Bettner, people like that, with Greg's notes in the columns.
Whoa.
So I have Greg's critiques or agreements with some of the major works over the past century. I have his notes in the columns of those books.
Dude. Covetousness. It's happening right now in my heart.
I thought you were going to say that they invited you to Roscoe's.
No, but been to Roscoe's.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
Maybe a million more times. In fact, well, I think Dave and I actually went one time during a sales conference.
Shut your mouth. You went to Roscoe's with Greg Bonds and Son. Now that outdoes the bookstore, dude.
Now I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Dave and I still remain great friends. He and I are both college football fanatics, so we talk all day every Saturday during the fall.
Nice. I know about foosball.
Yeah. You should get David on our show.
I think he would love to do it. Obviously, theonomy and economics are a big deal for Dave.
Yeah, you could show him the fruit of his father's labor right here, Apologia Radio. This is the fruit of Greg Bonson's labor right here.
In fact, a cool little tidbit about Dave. Last week, David rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. How cool is that?
See, post-mill. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
What do people call down the kids say these days? That post-mill. You know what I'm saying?
That post-mill, though.
That post-mill, though. I think that's what he was saying when he was ringing the bell. He's like, that post-mill, though.
To be honest, when I first heard the show, the first thing I heard was a conversation about Bonson, and that always warms my heart that people not just, you know his name, but are familiar with his work, that his impact has now, I think, has been significantly greater since his passing.
That's right. No, I agree with that completely. Give us an idea, just because you got to kind of be a part of his life. Even for a little bit, what was it like to have as a pastor? What kind of man was he, you know, sort of, you know, outside of the book world and in sort of we know him from conferences or whatever? What was it like to sort
of... Did you ever hear him go to the bathroom on his mic?
Not with the mic on. we went to several meals together. I went primarily with his son, David, and he'd invite me, and we'd go out afterwards and... maybe after a church service or sometime, and you know, there's just a couple experiences doing that, and they were great because Greg. Some people know, along with going to seminary, Greg also got a couple degrees from University of Southern California. So he loved Trojan football. He loved the university. Dallas Willard was one of his professors. And he would talk about those days very warmly, and he would talk about football, very excited about it. Very casual, very funny. His son David kind of picked that up as well. His wit, I think, shows through on quite a few of the sermon tapes, especially in some of the debates. His quick-wittedness was untouchable. Nobody... responded as quickly as he did to anything, any conversation, whether it be football or theonomy.
Yeah. So he's a pretty cool, easygoing, approachable guy.
Oh, yeah. Really approachable. You know, and as big as he is in my memory, some of those times, I mean, people start to remember the church was 100 to 120 people.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing ever, David. It's like, you know, it's the people that have the greatest overall impact are generally the ones that have these teeny, tiny, little congregations. It just it boggles my mind. Like you look at someone like Bonson even. Like, that's Greg Bonson. I mean, like, seriously, like world changer when you think of like theological importance and stuff like that and what he's doing to impact even our world today through his teachings and his books and everything else. You know, but tiny congregation. You look at Dr. James White. I mean, it's like tumbleweeds blowing through his church, like on Sunday.
I have to totally agree with you. Like, for example, I don't have anybody listening to me, so I'm hoping I have a huge impact.
Hey, how much time do we have left in this segment? Because I have a great R.C. Sproul story.
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay, cool. Went to a CBA, Christian Booksellers Association convention, and I used to always just go talk to R.C. Sproul and his unbelievably adorable wife. And we would sit and talk, and he always remembered me as the guy who liked Greg Bonson. And one time, Dr. Sproul got called off, and it was just his wife and I, and she kind of leans over to me, and she goes, "You know, you need to understand, R.C. loved Greg. Just loved him." And that meant a lot to me, that even though they had that, you know, somewhat formally debate on apologetic method, and obviously would disagree on areas of, like, theonomy. It was Greg's writings of postmillennialism and preterism that helped him come to that kind of an understanding. But to know that, like, deep down inside, that his wife could lean over and say, "You know what? R.C. really loved Greg." Mm. That meant a lot to me, yeah, as someone who admired Greg so much. And you guys know, there are people out there that are just nasty towards Greg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even after his death, it's just horrible. Some of the stuff. I lived in San Diego and was familiar with all the stuff at Westminster, and it was, to me, just disheartening that the church would treat him the way that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, and people, as people start to really get into, say, like a book like Always Ready or Presuppositional Apologetics or any of Greg's works, like even on Van Til's method, you know, and they begin to say, "Wow, I'm really blessed by this, getting into the scriptures, life's transforming." And then they begin to understand some of the history. It really is wild. What took place in his life, just for a faithful historical Christianity. I mean, just ultimately, it blows my mind.
He did say that he was glad it wasn't a true formal debate, because as much as he would disagree with Greg, he was glad he never actually had to debate Greg.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, David's referencing the apologetic methodology debate between R.C. Sproul and Greg Bonson. I think you can get that free somewhere online. If you Google that, you can get almost anything free
Google
online.
Google that junk.
Google that. So it's Greg Bonson, R.C. Sproul, Apologetic Methodology, MP3. You should be able to find it. If you can't find it for free online, it's at cmfnow.com for sure. You can get it there. But that is a classic debate. You need to get. It's awesome. And it really is cool, because I feel like that debate just underscored the reality of the nature of the disagreement. R.C. Sproul, phenomenal man of God, but R.C. Sproul spending time just really talking about his own traditions and philosophy, and then you have Bonson just verse after verse after verse after verse over and over. And it's amazing that the guy who's the herald today in the church of Sola Scriptura, R.C. Sproul.
Camping?
No, he's the herald of Sola Scriptura. In the debate on apologetic methodology, isn't so Sola Scriptura. It was Bonson. So I'll be right back, guys. We're going to talk more with David. A really important clip from a recent radio program or podcast program. Be right back. Stay with us, guys. ApologiaRadio.com with the bear, the girl, and a bunch of other funny dudes. I'm David Lohman.
And the ninja?
And the ninja?
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
When I whet my flashing sword and my hand takes hold of judgment, I will take vengeance upon mine enemies, and I will repay those who hate me. O Lord, raise me to thy right hand and count me among thy saints, and I shall count thee among my favored sheep.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. Check out our major sponsors, Whitfield Theological Seminary. Go to Whitfield.edu and American Vision at AmericanVision.com. You guys, of course, can pick up your books, resources. Great stuff. AmericanVision.com, guys. Go get them, guys. All right, so we're back. David.
Yes, sir. I have a really important apostle update for you.
Oh,
Sonny,
good.
Sonny just said in his prayer, I've always called you Jesus. You've always called me son.
And Joy wouldn't even know anything about that.
I don't know anything about it. I don't even know what it means.
And let me say, the Black Gospel Choir that does the kind of cover of Oh Happy Day, but it's really not Oh Happy Day, even though it sounds just like Oh Happy Day,
yeah,
is starting.
Sweet.
That's glorious.
Sweet. I would call you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. What shall I do, Jesus?
Don't know it.
Enjoy it, but you're not even enjoying that.
Don't know.
You don't even know how important that scene is. It's just a very emotional, it's a very honest moment for him. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, just almost like the Psalms. He's just broken and he's just, come on now. I always called you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. You don't even know.
Maybe I'll watch it. No.
Oh, Joy.
It reminded me a lot of Jeff's sermons on Sunday.
Did he take a bathroom break?
I sense a lot of rebellion.
Yeah.
And right. The spirit is telling me.
The spirit.
All right. The spirits. I do go to the Reform pub. So.
There you go. All right, guys. So, David, let's update the listeners here as we get into the discussion, because I think it's a very important one. Let's change tracks for a moment, get serious here for a moment about the theological importance of this radio program and these issues that were brought up on theonomy, reconstruction, and postmillennialism on the Pulpit and Pen radio program. You alerted me to it, so why don't you give the listeners a brief description of why you contacted me about it and what you were feeling and what's up.
Yeah, I've always actually been, I've listened to the Pulpit and Pen for quite some time after I first heard J.D. Hall's sermon a couple years ago from Reformation Montana that Chris Rosebrow played. And it was an epic sermon. It was on par with the Paul Washer, I Don't Know Why You're Clapping, and Matt Chandler's at Code Orange. It was that good of a sermon. So I kind of just started following. And then there was this controversy that was the end of last week where he really went after these other guys that have a great little fun little podcast called The Reform Pub, or The Reform Pubcast. They talk about beer, and then they talk about theology, and it's just kind of a fun light show that will delve into deep things. So I listened to it. I listened to his pseudo-apology slash given answer or response to several complaints he received. And then from out of the blue, he said something about theonomy and postmillennialism. So I said, okay, I'll have to listen to the next episode. And then when I heard it, it was literally the oddest. I'm joking before that it reminded me of when Larry King asked Joel Osteen, he didn't go to college, did you? Mm. Because it was listening to someone talk about something they knew absolutely nothing about,
right?
And yet was disagreeing with it and arguing against it, even though they were actually making statements in agreement. It was just the oddest thing. So I just sent you that quick note. I said, you need to listen to this because it just makes no sense. And the worst part is he said, oh, and we'll deal with this more in future episodes.
Well, that bothered me too, David. I feel the same way. It felt like a schizophrenic critique. And a lot of that comes from his own admission that he doesn't really fully know the position, which bothered me because I feel that if you are going to be a teacher, you're held to stricter judgment and a higher standard. And if you're going to speak publicly about something, you'd better know what you're talking about, particularly if you're going to be critiquing other brothers and going to the scriptures. And so I thought that was very, very important to take note of when he says in the beginning, you guys are going to get to hear this in a second, when he says in the beginning that he ultimately doesn't really understand. I'll go ahead and play for it. Here you go. Let's go ahead and do it.
I haven't got the dominionist thing all figured out and theonomy all figured out.
Okay, there you go. So one more time.
I haven't got the dominionist thing all figured out and theonomy all figured out.
Okay, so but I'm going to tell you why it's bad.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why it's bad. And then in the midst of telling you why it's bad, let me go ahead and agree with the substantial bottom line of theonomy and Reconstruction and everything else. And obviously his eschatology is obviously premillennial. And so that's driving a lot of his critique. And I wanted to say this as we enter into the radio discussion, as we play clips and respond to it. David, I want you to feel free to say stop and I'll stop so you can address some things. I want to say something. This is important. We have to always watch in an apologetic situation when we're defending the faith or doing any kind of theological discussion. You always want to watch for the smuggled in unjustified assumptions. That becomes very important in the sense of listening and reasoning through things as somebody's talking to you in a dialogue is watch out for the smuggled in unjustified assumptions, sort of the things that are just sort of gimmies, like this is just assumed, right? But oftentimes that's the very thing that's being challenged. So when you have a man who's critiquing, say, postmillennialism, and he is just sort of standing on his premillennial assumptions, well, that's the very thing that's being challenged. And you can't just assume that as you, like, this is just true, because you got to offer a critique. You have to interact. And it doesn't seem to me that he even understands the position that he's arguing with. So let's go ahead and get started. This is J.D. Hall. The name of the program, David, is Pulpit and Pen?
Yes.
Okay. And this is from Tuesday, September 23rd's broadcast. You can go there and check it out. Let's get right into it. And again, David, if you feel like you want to say something, just tell me stop and let's get into it.
All right.
What concerns me, though, most of all, is the attempt of taking over the culture. I hope to talk more about it in coming days.
Okay, stop.
Theonomy.
Okay. I'm sorry. I said this. Because that, to be honest, if there's ever a straw man that's ever been created against theonomy, postmillennialism, dominionism, any of those, it's this idea that the theonomist wants to take over the culture.
Right.
That it's some sort of that through voting and through all these things that through man-made humanist means,
right,
the culture will be taken over, and to state theonomy is that, you know, I would agree with him. There's charismatics that claim dominionism that are use heretical means and desires,
right,
to do the same, and I would agree with him on that. But you can't say that that's what theonomy is.
Right.
Because and that's so frustrating because now you've already built the straw man. You've already put a presupposition into the minds of your listeners.
Yeah.
That isn't true. So now they're going to assume this now for the rest of the entire program.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I say, you know, you're held to a stricter standard here. You're a teacher. You're teaching people when you even admit that you don't really fully understand the position yet. And you're right. If anybody even spends a moment in any of, say, Greg Bonson's writings, Rush Dooney's writings, Gary DeMar's writings, Kenneth Gentry,
anybody who's written on this that understands the position says over and over and over and over again that this is about gospel transformation. The gospel goes forth, hearts are changed from stone to flesh, people's lives are changed, their eyes are open, they go from a state of spiritual death to spiritual life, and that begins to transform the world via those people that are transformed, and that is part of Christ's reign. And so we don't say that you can change anybody's life through.
Yeah, I always just tell people, if someone truly becomes a Christian, what do then they act like?
That's exactly right.
I've written my law on their hearts. They act it out.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got 6 billion people acting it out, your world's going to be radically different.
Amen. And by the way, just so you know, and we're going to hear this maybe a couple times here, J.D. Hall agrees with you. David, listen to what he says.
As people are brought to faith by the preaching of the gospel, their lives will change. And through that, through a cascade effect, the lives of the people around them, as they also hear the gospel and they believe and they repent and are converted.
Greg Bonson says amen.
Yeah. We all say amen to that.
We all do.
But the schizophrenic part of this is that that's in the midst of him trying to critique a system that he really doesn't understand. So
yeah, I've always been, I don't know if you're this way because I'm terrible about this, but if I can't remember where I heard it, I just say Greg Bonson said it, because it's probably a greater chance than not that he did.
Yeah.
But it's really simplified to me. And when I kind of started to grasp it, the thing that came to mind was like, if you did have a time with the gospel being incredibly successful and certain people were elected, they shared that same belief, what kind of laws would they look like?
Right.
Would they look like the laws we have now? Probably not. Right. No one would have a problem with it. The argument that drives me crazy, and this is where I think J.D. fails just like every other critic of theonomy, is they think the theonomist wants to start with changing the law rather than changing the heart.
Right. It's exactly reversed. Mm. Exactly. Okay, let's do some more.
Ha.
Or dominionism, the idea that we will conquer culture. It is a post-modern, not post-modern, post-millennial eschatological position. Some dominionists, some Christian Reconstructionists believe that we should stone adulterers. That's not my straw man. It's not hyperbole. They're there. There are some that believe slavery should be reinstituted.
What? Wow. I think this is about 7 times. If I could go back to the earliest part of that beginning segment where he talks about the, you know, the creation of the law and the post-millennialists, and they want to take over through kind of this brute force. I kind of laugh because the only ones that really hold taking over the culture and society by brute force is premillennialists.
Amen. There you go. Because
they're the only ones that have a theological treatise that says that an iron sword is going to come and destroy everything and take over.
And David, he says that in his critique. He says it in his critique. Don't you find that just mind-boggling to me? You're exactly right. We believe that through the gospel hearts change that people end up loving God's law. And so in loving God's law, as those people love God's law and the kingdom of God spreads and nations are discipled, which, by the way, is the command of the Great Commission, not to get disciples out of the nations, but to disciple the nation. What would a discipled Christian nation full of a lot of Christians look like? What kind of laws would they have? Well, I would say they looked at God's law for what was just, what was true, what was lovely, what was beautiful, everything else. It's amazing to me that premillennialism is you're right, the eschatological position that teaches that it drops on people's heads in history and clobbers them, and there's the iron fist and iron rod. You know, there's that picture of the kind of thing that he's dissing.
Yes, in fact, one of the things that I always like to, because I like to make things smaller and little bite-sized for people, both on my show and on my blog. And I said, you know, the first part of culture that will win through theonomy is the family.
Amen.
And it's a promise because we've been told that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and the children towards, you know. He promises that that's going to be the unit that starts it. Theonomy doesn't start in society. It starts in the family.
Yeah.
And then when it expands from one family and your next-door neighbor and your next-door neighbor's next-door neighbor, it makes total sense that, wow, I'm then going to treat everyone the way God expects me to treat them.
Amen. All right, guys, here we go. Be right back, guys. More with David Lohman. Right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
Keep it on tape.
city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
It's one of our favorite clips when we talk about eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
Sitches. All right. Back. ApologiaRadio.com, guys. Get us there. Get a past episode. Share it on your social media with all your friends, family, everyone in your network, guys. All right, we're back. David Lohman, we're going to talk more about the J.D. Hall radio program. Ready to go, David?
Yeah, real quick, I just want to preface something. There's two things real quick that I think are important. One, what upset me the most is not the disagreement, because as you guys know, pretty much everybody disagrees with us. But the idea that somehow it's less of a valid argument, that it's not even worth a real discussion, is utterly frustrating.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's really odd is that within the Reform community, there's so much that we can agree on and work feverishly together to be successful in expanding the kingdom, that these sort of things become real frustrations, as those we are ostracized out of the body. And that is just an unfair to the gospel way of acting.
Yes. Absolutely. And it is, to my mind, David, it's a burden, because when you look at the blessing of the kingdom of Christ, what happened early on in the American colonies and all the rest of people came over, this was understood, the victory of the kingdom, you know, this hopeful, you know, optimistic view of the future through the gospel in the world, you know. And so now we're at a strange place where, you know, this is seen as an odd thing. We're seen as kind of a weird crew. And, you know, and obviously, because I'm a post-millennialist, I know that it'll reverse itself, but we sit.
Yeah, and I always kind of make this joke about the 6 degrees of separation within the Reformed community and only 1 degree of disagreement. And that you could take a picture, and I'll use Chris Rosebrow real quick. He speaks at J.D. Hall's things. J.D. Hall speaks with Steve Camp. Steve Camp speaks with John MacArthur. John MacArthur speaks with Todd Friel. Todd Friel, and you start going that we all kind of get along. James White is with J.D. Hall at different things. You know, and you start seeing that there's actually a lot of agreement, but then one little thing comes out and there's disagreement, even though you have Lutherans and everybody else seemingly being able to work with Marcus Pittman and everybody else that we could talk about.
Right.
And yet it just takes one little thing and all of a sudden you're out of the camp.
Mm. Yeah. It's a bit disheartening. But we got that post-mill, though.
Yep.
Here we go.
It doesn't lead to anything good. It doesn't lead to anything good. Furthermore, I think it's highly prideful to suggest that our culture, which is a rebel towards God, is going to be tamed by your latest movie, by your attempt to take over the local PTA or the local newspaper. Or you're going to reclaim Ballerina for Jesus. This is going to be a gospel-centered ballet.
So either stop or scream.
Okay. So much to say.
I think he missed the point where most of the animus homeschool their kids.
Yeah.
We homeschool our youngest, our second youngest right now, in middle school. But it's not even just homeschooling. It's I don't know of a single theonomist that says, you know what, I'm going to make a new movie.
Right.
And that's going to change people's lives.
Right.
The gospel, completely, again, ignoring that it is the gospel that is going to change people's lives. If anything, I want to fail on the side of believing that the gospel can change people.
Mm. Yes.
Not think that people are more powerful. I take serious that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I take it seriously.
Yes.
And my favorite line from Bonson that I always remember, the Great Commission was not wishful thinking.
Very good. That's exactly right. And yeah, I think that when as Christians, we produce things that go out into the culture, as post-millennial, theonomic, everything else, is we're saying, look, I've been subdued by the gospel and I want to do this to the glory of God. And that's the sort of things we want to do. And so when we say the gospel goes out and it changes people's lives, those people whose lives have been changed begin to do things that are to the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, do to the glory of God. Does that also include filmmaking? Does that also include my music? Does that also include my art? Are we not supposed to do ballet, J.D. Hall, to the glory of God? I have that question.
That should be asked, shouldn't it? Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. So as people's lives are transformed through the gospel, they've been regenerated, their hearts are new now, do they not want to do everything they do to the glory of God? Because guess what? That is the vision. That is the perspective. And I just don't understand why any Christian, particularly a Reformed Christian, why anybody would complain about that.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. And again, I think when you start with the premise that the theonomist wants to change culture instead of changing hearts, then you'll always be wrong in your assumptions.
Yes, and it needs to be stated that culture, when we talk about what culture is a display of the heart of the people within it. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And so people's hearts begin to put out what the culture actually is and looks like. So today we have a culture of death. People that are just perfectly fine with ending the life of the unborn and all the rest. Well, what is that culture a reflection of? It's a reflection of the hearts of people who are there. And so we don't say that, look, we're going to change this from the top down. We say through the gospel, people's lives are transformed. They begin to love God and to love life and all the rest, and love their neighbor as they love themselves. And so they don't desire to hurt them. And the Bible says that love does no harm to its neighbor. So what does culture look like in that context? It looks like culture of life, not a culture of death. And how do we change that? Through the gospel. So why are people, though, that are post-millennialists so active in proclaiming God's truths into the culture? It's very simple. Because when we proclaim God's truth into the culture, we can now actually call them to repentance and faith.
Yeah, sometimes theonomists make bad Calvinists because we actually take the gospel out into society.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, too, I'm appalled. Besides the fact that he's completely not even understanding where we're coming from, the fact that he said in that last clip, nothing good will come of this, is just, that's mind-boggling to me.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Nothing good will come from this?
That's not even, like, misinformed. That's just sinful.
It's difficult to listen to. I have to be honest, with love to him as a brother in Christ and humility, my stomach was hurting as I listened to it. Just because I hate to listen to somebody that seems so solid just get something so wrong and even admittedly not understand it. And before he starts teaching others about it, it's clear he hasn't really read anything written by Reconstructionists, postmillennialists, or anything like that, or at least not read it and really paid attention. Otherwise, why would he be critiquing it in such a wrong way? Here we go.
One, after 2,000 years, we've just gotten further. We've become more apostate, and humanity has developed a more depraved nature, or at least just as depraved.
Really? Does he not know what John was writing into when he wrote in the first century, the darkness is passing away? What was going on in the cities and the streets around the Apostle John when he wrote that? I seem to remember pagan temples up where people can go in, they could pay money, participate in cult worship, and there was sexual sort of, you know, orgies done, you know, in this context. That was sort of what happened. Mm-hmm. There was the Roman form of slavery going on in his day. There was all kinds of things. People were throwing their babies out into the street to die of exposure. The Christians were snatching them up. I seem to remember it's also an article recently that in 15 years China will be the most Christianized nation. So yeah, amen. Things are getting so much worse, aren't they? Interesting. So, Apologia Radio, guys, be right back.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Guys, talking about J.D. Hall's radio program. His real misunderstandings of the position that he's critiquing, and that's going to come out here a little bit more. And again, I want to approach this issue with a lot of respect and humility and love towards him. It's just important to talk about these things, because when you're a teacher and you have a following and you begin to talk about something and you just get it wrong, you need to be corrected. That's all there is to it. You just need to be corrected and be humble enough to say, you know, I got it wrong. Luke and I were talking about this yesterday. We will often get from listeners a lot of questions about things like, could you talk about this issue, that issue? And we'll just be honest and say, you know what? We just don't understand that issue enough yet. We're not an expert on that, so mm-hmm. we're not going to talk about it because we don't know. We're going to talk about what we know and what we can support with the scriptures. And so I think it's important to have that mindset, particularly if you are a teacher of God's word publicly. And that's important. I think we should have that standard as Christians. It's important to do so. So here we go. Can we back now? Gil, get the levels back up again. We're good to go. Okay, here we go. More from J.D. Hall's radio program.
And you're going to change it? Let me say this to you. Christians, listen to me. I haven't got the dominionist thing all figured out and theonomy all figured out, but I know this. Jesus Christ did not come to die for things. He came to die for people. He came to redeem people. He didn't come to reclaim things.
Well, I don't myself think through this as a Christian, as someone who is in the tradition of the Puritans and has been influenced by men like Jonathan Edwards and Greg Bonson, R.J. Rushdoony, and all the rest. I don't particularly think when I go out to go and bring the gospel that I'm just trying to go redeem things. I'm not going to preach the gospel to the building, right?
I've never even heard anybody say that, ever.
Yeah. David, comments about that?
It's just, again, everything stems, boy, from a presupposition.
Yeah.
When you consider this whole idea of changing things, I don't know of one of any theonomists that does that, but yes, things, in a sense, will change. Things, society will change, culture will change, the church will change, and if those are things, but because things are made by the people who are changed.
Well, can I quote something for you, Ravas David, see if you want to respond to this? I don't know. When I think about the gospel first, I think about what Paul says in his description of the overall picture of what's happening in history, and this is what he says. This is the Apostle Paul, inspired apostle. I think we should listen to him, a very reliable source. 1 Corinthians 15, 23-28, he says this, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Now, here we go. Here's his timeline, all right? Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. You guys grabbing that timeline?
Yep.
Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be defeated or destroyed is death. Now, by the way, that's Paul's current description of what's happening now. Jesus is reigning, and he's going to put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy is death. Notice that Paul says that he's going to deliver the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Interesting.
Yes, so we're not waiting for often quoted or alluded to passage from the Old Testament in the New Testament is Psalm 110:1.
That's right.
When the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Yeah.
He reigns currently, presently, for all time after he ascends to the Father. He reigns until his enemies are made his footstool.
That's right.
He doesn't come and make them his footstool. He reigns and he comes after they are made that. And how are they subdued? With a sword that comes out of the mouth of Christ.
Yes.
A two-edged sword, which is the gospel.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now think about this for a second, guys. We talk about things being subdued by Christ. Well, how about this? The same passage, by the way. It's right after he talks about God putting all things in subjection to him. He says this, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he has accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, the Son himself will be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Well, if there's the context of the things, all things put in subjection to Christ. Well, those things are put in subjection to Christ because those enemies are put under his feet. When we think about the gospel going out into the world, Paul's timeline of history is that Jesus is reigning now. He's putting all enemies under his feet. Then comes the end. He delivers the kingdom over to the Father. The last enemy to be defeated is death. Now, what is J.D. Hall waiting for? Jesus to come ultimately to inaugurate a kingdom, to drop it on history. That's not the timeline. The kingdom is going to be delivered over to the Father after Jesus has finished putting his enemies under his feet. All things in subjection to Jesus. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Where is my mind? Where is
guys. We're back. ApologiaRadio.com. That was a little crazy, wasn't it? Got a little fuzzy there, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I was distracted by Joy looking at animals on her phone.
Of course, of course, of course. All right. One last time, guys, for our boys, give us a last plug for all the show and your site.
Okay, this is Mike again. We have a show coming up on the 16th, Thursday the 16th, at the Comedy Spot in Old Town Scottsdale. We are Cross-Eyed Comedy, and what we did, Brian and I actually founded this a few years ago, and we'd get hired out as Christian entertainers to different churches and things and that sort of thing. Brian and I had a lot of success in the secular world in entertainment, but our heart was kind of drawn to use this in a way to minister to people in churches and in the Christian community. So we developed Cross-Eyed Comedy, which is specifically designed as a ministry to Christians, which often use it as an outreach. So we are able to go to churches and things like that and provide comedy entertainment in different formats, but primarily stand-up, and just be able to, like I said, bring joy and laughter. And it works great as an outreach for a lot of communities and churches, because a lot of people look at a church or a church building and think, well, that's a somber, serious downer, for lack of a better word. And right. So these events work really well, bring people in and so forth. Anyway, crosseyedcomedy.com is the website. And if you're interested in any of that, go there and check us out. We perform all over the country for most of the church stuff. And if we do something as a group, like different sketch stuff or improvisational stuff, that's typically more Arizona. But like I said, we do stand up all over the country, and Cross-Eyed Comedy is really kind of taken off from that.
Sweet. Thanks, boys. Thanks for being on the show, guys, yeah. Today. This has been a blessing.
You too, Anthony.
Yes, you too, Anthony.
Thank you.
Yeah. David, you wanted to say something real fast before we go into the rest of the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, you were talking about this idea that God or Jesus doesn't redeem things. He is the creator of all things, Ephesians tells us, and then we find it also in the creation story. And then we're given this incredible promise of the new heavens and the new earth. Ultimately, redemption is going to expand beyond just the human heart. And it's through the human heart, or through the human experience, that those people are redeemed, that then those things that J.D. Hall is referring to will find their redemption. You will find in all those areas of life and all those walks of life those things being redeemed and brought under the authority of King Jesus.
That's right. All right, let's go. Let's do some punchy, fast responses here, because I want to try to get through this. There's about 4 minutes left. Here we go.
Jesus died to pay for the sins of individuals, not for a culture. To the wind with culture.
Who says that? What post-millennialist, theonomist says that? Nobody. It's just a straw man.
He doesn't need culture. Jesus doesn't need to reclaim Hollywood. He doesn't need to reclaim the nursing profession. Jesus doesn't.
I have a question. If somebody who is in the nursing profession is a Christian with a new heart, does that affect how they do their job?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Unless, of course, you want to argue for some sort of non-lordship salvation scheme where, you know, nothing really takes place in the heart, nothing really changes, the Christian's life isn't transformed. But if you're reformed and you say, no, it's true that the Spirit of God raises people to life and opens their eyes and gives them a new heart, don't you believe that their life transforms? And if Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth, note that, please, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go make disciples of all nations. Then isn't that the goal? The nation itself is disciple, teaching them to what? Obey, observe all that I have commanded you. Doesn't that begin to change things? And as people's hearts are changed, lives are changed, doesn't that begin to change, quote, culture? Doesn't J.D. Hall admit to that? He already did.
Need to reclaim sports. He doesn't need to reclaim the press or the universities.
Jesus doesn't need to reclaim the. Okay, well, is Jesus not concerned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all authority in heaven and on earth as to what people say? Is he not concerned about truth? Or we just don't think he cares? You see, I seem to remember looking at my Bible and God saying something saying, you shall not lie. So is Jesus concerned at all with lies? Is he concerned with people turning from sin to him for salvation? So when we say he's not concerned with, you know, politics, he's not concerned with this, that, well, is he concerned with holiness? I think so.
He's concerned with economics.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the great things about theonomy is that it answers some of those questions. And real quick, to address this, the fastest growing religion for people between the ages of males, 25 to 35, is Islam. Mm. And the reason is it claims to have answers about real life things.
Yeah.
About economy, about family, about relationship. It claims to have answers to those. And the church has hidden from those because it has ignored the Old Testament and the law of God. So as a result, they don't address those things and fail in reaching that individual who is sorely looking for answers to those problems. Yes, they will be redeemed.
Yeah, and I have to say this. I believe with all of my heart, with respect and gentleness to J.D. Hall as a brother in Christ, I have to say this with just – I have to just – make sure I make this clear. It's simply the eschatological position that's driving this. Because I believe this. While premillennialists will affirm Christ is king, it doesn't work its way out practically into their lives as they move about in the world. Because if Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth, then what are we waiting for? What more authority is he going to get? You see, J.D. Hall, as a premillennialist, believes that Christ drops his kingdom in history later for a literal 1,000-year reign on earth. Well, he will essentially do all the things that he's complaining about now with postmillennialists. But that's what's driving all of this, is that he doesn't really believe that Jesus has all authority on earth now. That's going to be given to Jesus when he rules from an earthly throne in Jerusalem later, which there's major problems with that. But here's more.
Things will all be subjected underneath his feet when he rules the nations with a rod of iron. Jesus doesn't need to redeem the...
Do you see that? Do you get it? There it was. There it was right there. That's when Jesus is going to do it. So not now. We're not to be concerned now. We can live in our Christian ghettos. Jesus is mayor over the Christian ghetto town. That's why he's mayor right now. He'll really be king later. But you see,
it's not even Christian ghettos. It's Christian cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, right, right.
Because I'm not just in this big Christian ghetto. I'm in this one little tiny cul-de-sac called Reformed Baptist or whatever, and we don't branch out beyond that.
Yeah, and let's just do this quickly because we've got to address it. Okay, also, major problem, J.D. Hall, with your system, because if you're waiting for Jesus to come back to set up an earthly throne, then what do you do with this priesthood? Does that just go away? Major issue. What happens to it? Does it just disappears?
You might be saying, can't be both.
What do you mean by that? Well, Zechariah 6:13 says, it is he who shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne and the council of peace shall be between them both. Okay, so there's Zechariah 6:13 about Jesus being a priest on his throne. All right, so is Jesus a priest on his throne now? I think we say, yeah, he's seated and he's a priest on his throne now. Well, here's Hebrews 8:4. It says, now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So if we have Jesus returning to an earthly throne to sit and be seated in Jerusalem, leaving his heavenly throne, which, by the way, is a great difficulty for me. Why would Jesus leave a heavenly throne where he rules and reigns now to sit on an earthly throne? It's very strange to me. But if he did, then he would not be a priest. So my question to J.D. Hall is, what's up with Jesus' priesthood? Where's it go?
You went there, huh?
Yep. All right. Just there's so much more to be said here, but you have to just deal with the fact that the Bible teaches plainly that Jesus is king now, and his kingdom is actually current. His reign and rule is now. Revelation 1:6, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a really quotation from Daniel and all the rest. It's a kingdom now. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. That's present.
Yeah, when you read Paul on the kingdom, it's always in this present tense.
Yeah.
Same with John. It's always a present tense issue.
Well, how about David? How about Jesus? Trust?
And Jesus, if ever there's a future tense, it's the term is within arm's length.
Yeah, well.
Or you see it, or upon you, or coming upon you. That's the immediacy of it is undeniable.
Yeah, and notwithstanding the fact that there was also the period where Jesus enters into history and he's dissolving Satan's kingdom then. But look what he says, Matthew 12:25-28. Can we listen to Jesus? Jesus says, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Now here we go. Will we listen to Jesus? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Question, did Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God? Yes or no? If you say yes, then Jesus says the kingdom of God has come upon you. Will we just listen to him? How about the timing of the kingdom in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45? I'll just tell you what it says. Four kingdoms during the time of the fourth kingdom. It says that God himself, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Fourth kingdom, that was Rome. Jesus enters and says, the kingdom of God has come upon you. He says that it was there. Paul affirms it. Revelation affirms it. The Bible teaches Jesus is king. Question, is he seated on his throne now? Yes or no? Is he king of kings now? Yes or no? Where does Paul put Jesus' reign now? 1 Corinthians 15, he says, he's reigning now, putting enemies under his feet. What more authority does Jesus need?
Strip club. He wants to redeem the people in the strip club, and he will because he's sovereign.
Thank you. Thank you. So you agree with Reconstruction. he redeems the people in the strip club. Now I have a question. If people are redeemed in the strip club, do they continue the strip club?
Right.
Yes or no?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have a bunch of Christians be like, well, we'll keep that.
Yeah.
Seriously? This is just schizophrenic.
If you want to deal real quick with the timing of Jesus's being given the kingdom in Daniel chapter 7, when it says he comes up to the Ancient of Days and is given a kingdom and a power, he quotes that in Matthew 26 to Caiaphas, and he says, Caiaphas, you will see this.
Yeah. Who will see
Caiaphas
this?
Saw that in his lifetime, the ascension and the glorification and Jesus being given his kingdom and rule, a power and authority.
Oh, there's more, though. There's so much more, though.
Oh, but,
I mean,
yeah, there's
Matthew 16:28. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. There is no way to fudge that. You can't say, well, that was a transfiguration. No, because Jesus says some standing here will not taste death. Guess what? 6 days later, none of them died. So unless you want to put lying words on the lips of Jesus, we have to say that Jesus meant it. Some of them standing here would not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Or John is about 2,003 years old.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much. Like the Mormons teach, right?
It sounds to me like JD has a severe case of Kutingdomitis.
One minute. Yeah. Oh, two kingdom, maybe? Sort of. Well, I don't know. Kind of. It's, I don't, maybe not. I don't know.
I know. Could just be good old-fashioned premillennialism.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Kutingdom. Well, that's true, though, is you're thinking of two different realms.
Yeah.
Like, God's really in control of that realm over there, but not this
one. Yeah, it's like God's going to redeem the people, but nothing else.
It's not going to change or affect anything else. There's so much more to say. David, I know we probably want to dive. Maybe we could do this next week. We'll dive into this subject some more. And it probably needs to be talked about more. So how about next week you join us again?
Anytime you guys need me, let me know.
Okay, David, thanks for joining us today. Gentlemen, thank you guys for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right. That's Joy the Girl right there.
See ya.
And that's Luke the Bear.
Yo, yo. Peace.
All right, guys. Make sure you guys check him out at Cockeyed Comedy.
CrossEyedComedy.com.
I know, I just saw CrossEyedComedy.com. Oh, yeah.
I got to go to GoDaddy real quick.
ApologyRadio.com. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at ApologiaChurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the NBC Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.